Welcome to Matters of Providence, where we talk about things pertaining to Providence Presbyterian Church here in Cumming, Georgia. My name is Kevin Metcalf. I'm your host. And earlier today, I had the pleasure of interviewing Bob Horton. Mr. Horton is an elder at Covenant Presbyterian Church in Buford, Georgia, our mother church, and he is the elder liaison who works with me, overseeing the work here in Cumming. So let's take a few minutes and listen in to this interview with Elder Bob Horton. I have with me today Bob Horton, who is a ruling elder at Covenant Presbyterian Church in Buford, Georgia. And of course, Covenant is our mother church. We are the daughter church plant here in Cumming. Welcome, Bob. Good to see you.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Would you mind telling us a bit about yourself, where you were born, your family life, that sort of thing?
Yeah, I grew up in Ohio, Newark, Ohio, about 30 miles from Columbus. Went to church all my life. Family wasn't real religious, but took me to church my whole life. I don't remember half a dozen times growing up when I wasn't in church on Sunday morning. It wasn't a big part of our life, but it was something there where I heard the gospel. Moved to Kentucky after high school, went to the University of Kentucky, spent nearly 4 years in the U.S. Air Force, came back, finished up my degree at Kentucky, went down to Bob Jones, took a master's and PhD in theology there. Taught for a year and then spent the rest of my working career, for the most of it, working in healthcare. Got transferred several times and ended up here in Atlanta and been here in Atlanta for the Metro Atlanta anywhere for the last 30 years.
Oh, wow, so you've been here a while.
Yeah. Married in almost 50 years now and four children, 16 grandchildren, so active in church.
Yep. Very good. And military experience, right? You have a military background?
Yes, 4 years in the Air Force.
Yep. We do appreciate your service. So tell us how you and Dorothea met.
Well, I was at college at the University of Kentucky. I became an active Christian, and there was a youth conference going on, and I spoke at that conference. Dorothea was in a singing group, and she sang in that group at that conference. And then after the conference in the summertime, they had a get together for all the participants out at a farm, and so I got to meet her there. And from there, we got to know each other, and eventually got married.
Very good. Did the church play a role in your growth as a Christian?
Yes. I mean, I certainly heard the gospel from the time I was a child. Didn't become a Christian until I was 18, but had heard the gospel. And then when I became a Christian, got together with a number of other young men in a prayer group and fellowship time and studying the word together, memorizing scripture. Reading books and things. So very helpful in that early period of my Christian life to get grounded and have good fellowship and to learn the word.
That's awesome. So many of us who are, quote, reformed now, we're not always reformed. I look at my own life and, grew up in what I call a 1 Corinthians 7 type home. One parent was a Christian. My mother always made my sister and me go to church. But we grew up in a Southern Baptist context, which was pretty typical from where I'm from, the East Atlanta area. So were you always Reformed? If not, was there sort of a gateway to the Reformed faith? What does that look like in your life?
No, the church I grew up in was Nazarene, holiness, second works of grace, teaching. When I met Dorothea, she was in a Methodist church, so began going there. When I went into the Air Force, I was still Arminian. another person in our group was a Baptist, independent Baptist, and he and I would argue about once saved, always saved, and various things, and he finally got tired of arguing with me and gave me a copy of Pink's book, The Sovereignty of God, which was very convicting and very persuasive. From there, I joined an independent Baptist church. After I got out of the Air Force, finished college, went to the University of Kentucky and did graduate work. And most of the professors there in the graduate program at the time were Presbyterian or Presbyterian-leaning. And most of our books that we used in our theology classes were Presbyterian and persuaded me of the Reformed faith as I read through books like Burkhoff, Systematic Theology, and Hodge, and other good Reformed books. So that led me into Presbyterianism.
Okay. So Arthur Pink, A.W. Pink, you know, many today may not be familiar with some of his works, but few generations back, I know he was an often quoted or referred author, and that was one of, well, his book, The Attributes of God, was important for me coming to the Reformed faith. It was one of those works that I read. So there's a common thread there amongst many who have taken that path. You mentioned you're from the Nazarene Church, and you mentioned the Second Works of Grace. Just for my own sake, would you kind of clarify what that is?
Part of the teaching in the Nazarene Church was you get saved at some point in time, but you need this second work of grace to become perfected, and you can get to the place where you live a sinless life.
Oh, okay. Sinless perfectionism,
yes,
basically. Wow.
Yes.
Okay. I wonder if there's a method, not Methodist influence, but anyway, that's interesting. So you currently serve as an elder on the covenant session. How long have you been an elder there, and how did all that come to pass?
I've been going to covenant since 2000, and in 2008, I was nominated and elected to be an elder there. So I've been an elder there for 11 years.
Okay. What have you enjoyed about being an elder at Covenant?
More interaction, I guess, with the people, visiting people and working with them. The officers of the church teach the Sunday school classes. So I have been teaching the 5 to 8 year olds for a number of years, occasional sessions teaching the adult Sunday school class, but when I'm not teaching in there, which is most of the time, I'm teaching the young children. And that's been a new experience for me and one that I have enjoyed greatly. And especially then seeing some of these younger children grow up in the faith and grow up there in the church. So I've enjoyed that. And I've enjoyed getting involved in presbytery and just getting to meet the other men in the presbytery and then working within the one of the committees of the presbytery.
Very good. So I think you've already touched on this. You probably answered it indirectly. What would you say is the calling of a ruling elder? What is he to be? What is he to do? That sort of thing.
Primary calling is to be with the people, to be able to encourage them, pray with them, excuse me, know what's going on in their life, to be a help to them, an example. So it's to work with the people primarily.
Very good. So we obviously then are Presbyterian in our church government, and one thing that means for us at Providence is that we are seeking to plant a church under the authority and guidance of the leaders of the church. In our circles, that means churches are planted with either the direct guidance of the presbytery, with borrowed elders from the presbytery, and that means from other churches, or the direct guidance of a local church's elders, sometimes referred to as a mother-daughter church plant. Of course, in our case, it is the latter. you've been designated as the elder liaison between the covenant session and Providence. So what has been your role in this calling?
The church itself is under the session of covenant. Providence is under the session of covenant. But all the elders can't be over here on any regular basis. I am retired now, so I have a little more time than some of the others. And so volunteered and was selected to do so, to be the liaison between Providence and Covenant, so that I could spend more time with you, the pastor, and with people over here, so that I could encourage the work that's going on and enjoy the fellowship with this group over here. So, and I'm enjoying getting to know the people over here more and to spend time with them.
Yeah, you know, I can honestly say it's been a delight to be working with you, and it's been very helpful because what people may not know listening to this is you know, there are different ways that people plant churches, and sometimes guys just parachuted into an area to start from scratch, and he bears the burden alone, and it's very can be very difficult for that man and taxing on him, or he is assigned a place, you know, as is the case in our circles, through presbytery or the General Assembly, but he's still alone. He does report to a session or to a body, and yet he is alone. For me, though, it is different in what you just described, and it's very, very encouraging, very helpful to have you by my side many times. You're obviously an elder at Covenant, which means you have duties and responsibilities there, so you're not able to be full-time here, but with the exception of morning worship, you're pretty much everything else we do, and I know that's encouraging to people as well. And the way it's set up in a mother-daughter church plant in our circles, you can go one of two ways, it seems. You can, you know, when it comes to making decisions for the church plant, the whole session might be involved, the session of the mother church, or the organizing pastor and an elder liaison can make many, if not most, of the decisions concerning that. And what we're doing is the latter. And that doesn't mean that you and I call all the shots. We report back to the session. We, you know, for decisions that are weightier, we bring those before all the men of the session and that sort of thing. But we do have some freedom to make local decisions. And that is helpful too, because Presbyterians, rightfully so, often are very deliberate, and sessions typically meet once a month, so we don't want to always wait for a month to make a decision. So that's been very good and helpful. Now, as far as the church plant here at Providence, what would you say is our goal? What should be our goal as a church plant?
Well, of course, as a church plant, we want to see it grow. We want to see more people added to this group. We want to be reaching out to others and trying to bring them into this particular church. And we want to see the people themselves grow in the Lord, become strong in the faith, raise their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And then at some point want to see the church become a full-fledged church, to become particularized, to have its own officers, be self-sustaining and eventually self-propagating, that as Covenant is helping to get this one started, we'd like to see at some point in the future, Providence helping to start another church in the area.
Very good. So self-sustaining, meaning we were able to support ourselves financially, and self-propagating. What do we mean when we use that verbiage?
That it would be a church that helps other helps another church to get started.
Yeah.
That at some point in time that Providence would be the mother church establishing a daughter church somewhere.
That's good. Which means we not only look inwardly, we look outwardly.
Yes.
So we're seeking to plant a reformed Presbyterian church. That takes intentionality. How might this look different from other types of church plants?
Well, we're a Presbyterian church, so one of the things that means for us is we have a doctrinal standard, the Westminster Confession of Faith and its catechism, so we're not out there just trying to figure out what we believe. It's already documented. We believe in the regulative principle of worship, that we do what is authorized in the scriptures. We're not just free form and creating our own worship style. We worship in a way that God desires us to worship. Worship is intended to be for Him. Worship, it's not about us coming for enjoyment. It's about worshiping the Lord. So we're going to have our worship regulated by the Word of God. We're going to have biblical preaching and teaching. We take the importance of the sacraments. We give them a high level of importance. Have the Lord's Supper every Sunday. We want to see our children baptized as infants and then growing up in the faith. And we want our children in the services. Mm-hmm. We're not going to push them off to another room to play games or something, or have their own children's service. They need to learn to worship the Lord along with adults. They're part of the church, and so they belong in there. So in these ways, I think we're different from a lot of mm-hmm. churches in the South.
That's good. My wife and I, we talked about children's church before in the past, and we visited churches over the years that do that, and we sometimes wonder if that has fostered, encouraged what we see out there today. In other words, maybe there's children's church for adults, because church is all about having fun. You know, we want the kids. It's all about giving the children fun. And not that we're to be killjoys. I mean, our enjoyment isn't the living God. We go back to the first catechism question. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And our completion, our purpose, our enjoyment is incomplete without Him. So, but the point is, if we make worship about being fun from an early age and foster that, then that's what it's going to be for adults. And it's probably more complicated than that, but to put it simply, we've noticed that. You mentioned the regulative principle of worship. That's interesting, because I was thinking about that, and this coming Lord's Day, we're preaching through the book of Acts at Providence, and we're in chapter 21, and the first few verses there where Paul, he wants to go to Jerusalem, and after that, Rome. And in this passage, there's at least two groups, if not three groups of people, who try to persuade Paul not to go to Jerusalem. And so commentators sometimes think Paul made a mistake, or that those who tried to persuade him made a mistake. But I think, you know, in the text it says that this by the Spirit they did this. And I think if we're careful in looking at it, what it means is that the Spirit indicated to them that Paul would suffer. He would be arrested and suffer at Jerusalem. And their conclusion then was that Paul should not go. And so that's why they persuaded him. Tried to persuade him not to go. And my point in bringing that up is when it comes to the Word of God, Christians often agree on what the Word of God says, although not always. That's interpretation. But when it comes to applying what the Word of God says, we often don't agree. We have different nuances. We see that in Reformed churches. But now I'm speaking of the broader church. And so we all as Christians might go to the Word of God and say, yeah, there is the second commandment. First commandment says, you know, who it is that we are to worship. The second commandment tells us how we are to worship. And yeah, we look at Leviticus 10. We look at Nadab and Abihu, who offered strange fire. God killed them for that. But when it comes to applying, you know, principles such as that to our worship today, we differ. So when we talk about the regulative principle, we're saying that we only do what God has commanded us to do in worship. And that's hard for a lot of people to grasp. And that often results in a certain order of worship, a liturgy. Everybody has a liturgy, it's been said, whether they realize it or not. And there's been an influence there. So.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. And it makes a difference in whether you believe that the worship is directed to God or whether it's directed for the people that are attending. And our basic understanding is that we come together to worship the Lord. And so therefore we have to do that which is pleasing to Him. We're not trying to please each other, we're trying to please the Lord. So we come to offer our prayers, to make our sing our praises to Him, and then to hear from His Word. So I think the direction of the service is Godward rather than manward, and that makes a big difference.
Yeah, that's the words for worship mean service often. Mm-hmm. In Scripture, and that's what we're doing. We're serving the Lord. Like a few weeks ago for the call to worship, I read something from obviously the Scriptures, the Psalms, and just indicated to the people before I read it, you know, we're here to worship God, and any benefit that we receive from that is a byproduct. We're here to offer Him praise and glory and service. So that's our perspective. Yeah, it's a Godward perspective, a theocentric approach to worship. Related to that, I guess, or working out of that, you could say since we're a mother and daughter church plant, some might think that we are simply trying to duplicate churches, that we're trying to plant a covenant coming campus. Would you say that is the case?
No, there's going to be similarities, of course. We are Presbyterian, and we're in the OPC, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, as a denomination. There will be similarities between us, but all churches have their own personalities. There's going to be distinctions between them, and there's no intention to make this a clone of covenant. That's not our intention. It's not what we're trying to do, not what we want. We want this to be its own church, and the people, the pastor, you, and the elders and that you will have here eventually will provide the direction and the personality for the church.
Very good. So we're not going to pipe in like Chris preaching in the worship service or have a hologram of him.
No holograms.
Okay. Just checking, just making sure. So then in light of the fact that we're trying to do things according to the Word of God, what might be some things we ought to avoid being a Reformed church plant?
Well, no church can be all things to all people. You're not going to be able to please everybody. You're not going to try to reach out or to create a church that invites everybody to come, because you can't satisfy the needs of everybody. You need to know what you are and what you believe, and what you believe is important. You have to maintain your distinctives. Again, that goes back to our doctrinal standards, to the Westminster Confession of Faith and the catechisms. So, you know, you're going to be a Presbyterian church. You're going to have your own personality, and you can't worry about the fact that some people won't like it. Some people are looking for something different, and that will happen. At the same time, you don't want to become just an exclusive club and it's just us and no more. We want to reach out to other people. We want to bring in people that want to hear the Word of God, who want to worship the Lord according to His Word. And so there's got to be a constant attempt and emphasis on reaching others, talking to our friends, our neighbors, people who don't know the Lord, and encouraging them to come and hear the Word of God and come to know the Savior.
That's good. So when you're not in Cumming or Buford doing the work of an elder, what are some other things you enjoy doing?
Well, now that I'm retired after working for a long time, spending time with my wife and children and grandchildren, all four of our children and their families live in Gwinnett County. And so their spouses and all 16 of the grandchildren are nearby, so enjoy spending time with the grandchildren. Enjoy reading, like to have some time to actually sit down and read. And then I teach. Right now I'm teaching the adult Sunday school class and then also teach in the co-op at Covenant and teach high school Bible there. So spend time studying and preparing to teach and then actually doing that, something that I enjoy.
Very, very good. So retirement doesn't mean you just, you know, stop working. It sounds like you have plenty to do. You're staying busy and doing a lot.
Yeah, definitely stay busy.
Busy for the kingdom. And so I know I can say for the people at Providence, we appreciate it. We appreciate you and thank you for all you do.
Well, thank you. Enjoy working with the group over here and getting to know you and to work with you as well.
All right, very good. So we appreciate you being on the program today, and we hope again that this is helpful and we'll even stimulate further discussion amongst our members here at Providence.